Well, the sermon series for Advent is called Keeping Hope Alive. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to hope when we get shaken up by the challenges and difficulties of life. There seems to be a lot of that going around these days. Some of you heard this past week our church was shaken up when we learned that Pastor Glenn's son-in-law, Bizo, suddenly and unexpectedly passed away. And that's why he's not here this morning. He and his wife, Kathy, are en route to Papua New Guinea so that they can be with their daughter, Melissa, their four grandchildren. Pastor Glenn and his family, they're going to need a lot of hope to get through this difficult road. And I know that you'll be praying for them and keeping them in your hearts during this time. The Wagner family, you know, they need hope, but they're not alone in that need for hope this Advent season. My family needs hope too. Last week, I found out that my father has stage 4 kidney failure and is probably going to need a transplant soon. This week, I went to the dermatologist for a checkup, and yet again, they took another biopsy for possible skin cancer. I've spoken to so many people this Advent season who need hope. In our church alone, there are people dealing with loneliness, depression, job loss, financial strain, marriage struggles, infertility, parenting issues, work challenges, broken relationships, divorce, addiction, mental illness, physical illness, abuse, loss, grief. If I had time to interview everyone here today and everyone listening online, I bet every single one of you would be able to identify at least one area in your life, if not more, where you need hope. Can you think of one? I know this community is a little bit closer knit. Anybody willing to share an area of hope in your life that you could lift up, that we could be praying for together? Yeah. So she shared her husband lost his job, so we praying for him, for you. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else willing to share an area of your life where hope is needed? Yeah. Thanks. So prayers for the child that she's sponsoring. I know it's not always easy to share in public, but I bet if I got you one-on-one, every single person could share an area in your life where you need hope. We all need hope. And you add to that people in our world whose lives are being shaken up by wildfires, school shootings, political unrest, international conflict, poverty, homelessness, injustice, war, terrorism. We need hope. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to hope when we get shaken up by the challenges and difficulties of life. In this Advent season, we're learning how to keep hope alive with the help of 4 key words: watch, turn, see, and dream. Our word for today is turn. We all need hope. The question is, where will you turn for hope? Our scriptures reveal some very good news. We can always turn to God for hope, especially in the hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. The trouble is, we tend to turn away from God and turn in all the wrong directions for hope. From our readings today, we learned that the way to keep hope alive is to keep turning to God continually and help others turn to God. We're going to explore that together. The need for hope is not new. It's a tragic consequence of living in a world that has become broken by sin. Throughout history, God's people have found themselves in situations that seemed hopeless. One of the analogies that they used to describe their hopeless situations was the analogy of the wilderness. We heard that language in Matthew. And I don't know what comes to mind for you when you hear the word wilderness, but I do know what came to mind for the people of Israel when they used that word. The Judean wilderness is an area that stretches 20 miles from Jerusalem to the Jordan River and down through the Dead Sea. This was rough terrain, a difficult environment. The wilderness was hot and dried up. There was little to support life. The people of Israel, they used this as an analogy to describe the level of hopelessness that they felt. And I would imagine that many of you know how it feels to go through wilderness seasons in your life. You might be in one right now. Perhaps you've been through some rough terrain, or you've been stuck in some difficult environments. Maybe your situation has gone on so long that you're dried up, that your resources are dried up, your patience is dried up, your options are dried up, your hope is dried up, your faith is dried up. The nation of Israel went through some wilderness seasons in the history of their country. Our reading from Matthew quotes from an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah, where it talks about the voice crying out in the wilderness. That comes from Isaiah chapter 20. You might remember from our Journey of God storyboard that Isaiah was ministering during a wilderness season in their history. As a result of Israel turning away from God, many of their leaders had become corrupt and their nation had grown weak. Injustice, immorality, inequality, it was widespread. And they were heading towards a time when Israel would fall to foreign empires and the people would be exiled to foreign lands. And Isaiah describes this. It's like a wilderness. It seemed hopeless. And the hope of the people had just about dried up. Even their hope in God had dried up. They started to feel like God wasn't with them and that God didn't care. When John the Baptist came on the scene, it had been 400 years since there was a true prophet in Israel. And they were now under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. Again, situations seemed hopeless. Again, the people felt like God wasn't there, that God didn't care. Have you ever felt like that? I know you won't admit that in church, but I have. I mean, when we go through tough times, it can feel like God is not there, like God doesn't care. But nothing could be further from the truth. Both Isaiah and John the Baptist, they cried out in the wilderness, in the place of hopelessness, with a message of hope. And they told us we can turn to God for hope at all times, especially hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. In Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist said, "Repent," which means to change one's mind or change one's direction. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." His words made me think of a game that we play with our family during the season of Advent. To help keep Jesus at the center of Advent, each morning my wife or I will take the baby Jesus out of our nativity scene and place it somewhere in the house for our kids to find. And if our kids are having trouble finding Jesus, we'll give them little clues, say hot, cold. And the other morning, my son, he was standing right next to Jesus, but he kept turning in all the wrong directions. And so I'm shouting, "Cold, cold." In other words, turn around. Jesus is right there. And I imagine John the Baptist sharing the same kind of message. Cries out in the wilderness for all the people who had lost hope, for all the people who thought that God wasn't there, that God didn't care. He's shouting in the wilderness, "Cold, cold, turn around. God is right there with you." The prophet Isaiah shared the same message in chapter 40. I'll share a few powerful verses with you, picking up in verse 9 of chapter 40, Isaiah writes, "Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." In verses 28 to 31, he goes on, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Are you getting the picture that Isaiah is painting? God is our everlasting source of hope. His strength is unfailing, his power unlimited, his wisdom unequaled, his commitment unyielding. And this God of hope is already turning towards us to comfort the hurting, guide the lost, strengthen the weary, empower the weak, lift up the fallen, raise us above our obstacles, and carry us through the challenges and difficulties of life. For all who are hopeless, for all who feel like God is not there or God does not care, Isaiah is crying in the wilderness, "Cold, cold, turn around. God is right there with you." And in case we're tempted to doubt this good news, God sent his son Jesus to show us that it's true. In John 17, 6, Jesus explained that he came to earth to show us what God is really like. And by sending his son to earth, our heavenly Father was showing us that we have a God who turns towards us, a God who comes near, a God who is with us, a God who cares, a God who saves, a God who is stronger than sin and death, a God who transforms, a God who can bring new life from even the most hopeless of situations. In the same way that Isaiah described God like a shepherd, Jesus described himself as a good shepherd, one who cares for his sheep and knows each of his sheep by name, one who would go searching for one who is lost, a shepherd who would even lay down his life for the sheep so that we could have hope beyond death. Are you getting the picture that God is painting for us? I like how Nick Voyachek summarizes hope. He says, "Hoping is not seeing the positive side to life. It's knowing that all circumstances are nothing compared to God's faithfulness and power." I love that. The good news is that we can turn to God for hope at all times, especially the hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. The trouble is we often turn away from God and turn in all the wrong directions for hope. That's kind of our big problem. It started all the way back at the beginning. Remember, God created human beings out of love. He created a beautiful garden where we could live in a close, loving relationship with God and God's people. God had a perfect design, a perfect plan. And sadly, people turned away from God and decided to live life on our own way. Didn't work out so good. People acted in ways that hurt God, hurt others, hurt ourselves. And it was our sin that brought death and destruction into God's good world. And God could have turned away from us and left us to our own devices. But out of love, God chose to turn towards us. He sent his word to guide us. He sent his son to save us. And Jesus made good on his promise. He did lay down his life. He took the punishment for our sin on himself so that all who turn to him could have the hope of forgiveness and new life with God for all eternity. And we begin to experience true hope in our lives when we repent. John the Baptist described the process of repentance in Matthew 3. Two steps. Step one is turn away from our sin. John invited people to confess our sin. Confess the ways in which we've turned away from God. Confess the ways we've sinned against God's perfect plan. The ways we've contributed to the brokenness in our world. And from there, step two is we turn to Jesus so that he can wash us clean with God's mercy and fill us with the life-giving, life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is the beginning of true hope in our life. And from there, we keep hope alive by keeping turning to God continually and helping others turn towards God. Because we have a tendency as humans to drift. I learned a while back that cars are designed to naturally drift to the right side of the road. And this function is meant to keep us safe. So in case something happened, we took our hands off the steering wheel, we would drift to the right away from oncoming traffic. Now humans, we have a tendency to drift as well. Unfortunately, a function of our sinful nature is we tend to drift away from God in all the wrong directions. And that can be quite dangerous. Isaiah saw this happening with the people of Israel. They were turning in all the wrong directions for hope. See if you can relate to some of these. They tried to take matters into their own hands rather than placing their situation in God's hands. They placed their trust in mortal, imperfect people rather than in their eternal, perfect God. They relied on human wisdom rather than divine wisdom. They looked to what culture said would give them hope rather than to God. And many of their idols are things that we still idolize today. Wealth, strength, achievement, sexuality, power, appearance, and the list goes on and on. And none of those things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but they are a lousy substitute for God. Isaiah makes it clear that there is no one and no thing that can give us hope like God. In Isaiah 40, 25 to 26, God says, "To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Who created all these?" As the creator of all, God is greater than all. There is no person, no power, no nation, especially no created thing that could ever give us hope like God can give us hope. And the way to keep hope alive is to keep turning to God continually and help others turn to God. Isaiah offers a great biblical example of what this looks like. Leading up to chapter 40, he tells the story of Hezekiah in chapters 36 to 39. Now, Hezekiah was one of the faithful kings in Israel. And we notice a few neat features in Hezekiah's life. One, Hezekiah turned to God first when troubles hit. For example, when an enemy army threatened Israel and mocked their God, first thing Hezekiah did was go to the temple and gather people to pray. When the enemy sent him a defamatory letter, first thing he did, spread the letter out before God in prayer. And God protected the nation of Israel and delivered them from their enemy without Hezekiah or his army having to lift even a finger. Later on in life, Hezekiah contracted a terminal illness. The prophet Isaiah himself came to Hezekiah and said, "Hey, you better get your affairs in order because you're going to die soon." And in his bed, Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah and turned to God in prayer. And God led Hezekiah to the proper medical care that extended his life for many more years. When trouble hit, Hezekiah turned to God first. Where do we turn first when trouble hits? Do we turn to ourselves? To Google? To worry? To the latest self-help guru? To alcohol or drugs? To food? To TV? To the internet? To social media? To our credit card? Or do we go to God first and spread our situation out before God in prayer and seek God's help and guidance? Another neat feature of Hezekiah's life is he turned to God intentionally every day. In 2 Kings 18:6, we're told, he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given to Moses. Whether things were going well or whether they were going bad, Hezekiah turned to God every single day. He turned to God's word. He turned to God's people. He turned to God in prayer and in worship. As a result, he experienced the hope of God every day. I know it can be difficult sometimes to turn to God every single day. I mean, on a practical side, we're busy. We have full schedules and lots of distractions. It can be hard to turn to God every day. Maybe that's why Isaiah and John the Baptist both said, prepare the way for the Lord. In ancient times, the servants of a king would travel ahead of the king to clear a path for the royal procession. Sometimes we need to clear some stuff out so that God's hope can come into our life. Because if we're too busy to read scripture and pray every day, if we're too busy to worship every week, if we're too busy to get involved in community and small group, we might need some adjustments. Bill Hybels says, we're too busy not to pray. And it's worth our while to clear some space so that God's hope can come into our life every day, every week. The complexity, however, is not just practical, it's also spiritual. It takes faith to turn to God continually. Because sometimes when we turn to God, we don't always get immediate results. We don't always get the bigger picture of what God is up to. We don't always get the miracle we ask for. So it can be hard to turn to God. But there is one thing that we always get when we turn to God. We always get God. And that is always more than enough. In my morning quiet time, I've been reading about Paul in 2 Corinthians. And you couldn't get a more sold out person for the Lord who turned to God every single day. And yet even Paul went through hard times in his life, hunger, danger, setbacks, persecution. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, Paul was reflecting and he said, you know, I think sometimes God allows us to go through wilderness seasons so we learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the God who raises the dead. Later on, Paul had a problem which he called a thorn in his flesh. Three times he prayed that God would take that away. Paul did not get the miracle that he asked for. Instead, he got God. And that was more than enough. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul began to take pleasure in moments of weakness, need, distress, and infirmity, because he saw them as opportunities where God's grace and strength could abound in his life. I heard a neat testimony about this from our COO, Tom Anderson. God led Tom to run the Chicago Marathon to help bring clean water and the hope of Jesus to Africa. And Tom, he trained hard, but on mile 16, he hit a rough patch and didn't think he was going to be able to keep going. The first thing Tom did was he turned to God in prayer and asked God for help. God did not miraculously transport Tom to the finish line. But in that moment, Tom noticed another runner who looked in worse shape than he was. And he asked the guy if he could use a running partner. And the guy said yes. And Tom noticed that the guy had a piece of paper and was reading. It turns out that this man's wife had prepared a list of scripture verses that he could read every mile of the marathon. One of those verses was Psalm 33:20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And the two men ran and read and prayed together all the way through the finish line. So when we turn to God, we always get God. And that is always more than enough. God is able to provide all the strength and help we need for whatever season of life we are in. Just as Isaiah and John helped others turn towards the hope of God, Jesus commissions his followers, you and I, to point others to the hope that is found in God alone. In this Advent season, there's so many ways that we can point people to the hope of God, so many ways that we can be the 12th. We can invite people to worship with us. We can offer to pray for people who are going through difficult challenges in their life. We can come alongside people who are struggling and give support. We can go out and serve. We can share encouraging scripture verses, or better yet, tell other people about the hope that we have found in Jesus. We can turn to God at all times for hope, especially hard times, because our God of hope is already turning towards us. And the way to keep hope alive is to keep turning to God continually and help others turn to God. Before I move into the response time, I wanted to share a song with you that has inspired me to keep turning to God and to help others turn to God. It's written by The Afters, and the song is titled Lift Me Up. As I share it with you, I pray that it inspires you as well. Waiting for the sign that I'm where you want me to be. You know my heart is heavy and the hurt is deep. When I feel like giving up, you're reminding me that we all fall down sometimes. When I hit the ground, you lift me up when I am weak. Your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart's all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. I'm not perfect. I know I've made mistakes. I know that I have let you down. Still, you love me the same. When I am surrounded, when I lose my way, when I'm falling down, crying out, you are here to lift me up. When I am weak, your arms wrap around me. Catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart's all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. Yeah, we all fall down sometimes. When I hit the ground, oh, you lift me up when I am weak. Your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart is all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. In a moment, I'm going to have a dialogue with you and just give you a chance to share anything that's percolating in your soul, anything you feel like God's saying to you. But I invite you to write down whatever it is that we can be praying for you about, whatever step God's calling you to take, that we can encourage you in, so that this Advent season we can all keep hope alive. So take a moment with God and then we'll lead into a conversation and prayer. Before I close us in prayer, just curious, what's percolating in your soul? What were the things that spoke most to you, or what were the steps that you felt like God was leading you to take? I'm just going to open it up, and if anybody was willing to share what's in your heart and how we can be praying for and encouraging you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so sweet of you. Thank you. We can definitely talk afterwards, but that's such a wonderful heart, and thank you. Oh, so sweet. Others, things that are percolating? Yeah. God is good enough. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else, things that spoke to you or steps you felt like God leading you to take?
Turn to God first.
Yeah, turn to God first. Yeah. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we love you. We're so grateful that you're a God that turns towards us. And we confess in these moments the ways that we've turned away from you. The ways we've turned in all the wrong directions for hope, when right there, you've been all along. And God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before gone through the process of repentance, that they might make today, this moment, their opportunity to turn away from sin, turn away from everything else they've been looking to for hope, and turn to Jesus for the hope of forgiveness, new life, and eternal life. And God, we recognize our tendency to drift. And so by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, remind us each day, remind us each week to turn to you first, not only when trouble hits, but intentionally every day, so that we might live in the center of your hope and be a beacon of hope in our world. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,